captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, welcome back to New Girl, Old Guy for Season 5, Episode 3, Jury Duty. I'm neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Allie Lasher, and I am here with the great Akiva Wieneker. Akiva, how's it rolling?
It's rolling great. The great Akiva Wieneker. Wow, you must be in a good mood.
I mean, I said this on the end of the Vanderpump Rules podcast I've been doing when I plugged this podcast, but like, I feel like we sort of mutually just didn't say anything last week about having an NGOG, and I respect that.
Yes, neither of us the whole week said, hey, are we doing an episode? And I was thinking, like, if she wants to do one, I'm sure she'll ask and I'll make time. But, like, maybe she doesn't, and that's okay. We'll respect her space.
It was sort of the same thing. Like, if it were to come up, we could have made it work a little tight. Doing the Vanderpump Rules thing, challenge just ended. I ended up last minute recording a podcast with Dr. Jen and Chester, which we could talk about. But, like, it's been a lot of podcasting. And I thought, you know, if you're knocking on the door, I'll make time. Same thing. I think we were mutually just not saying anything about it.
Yeah. We weren't ghosting. We were waiting for the other person to make the first call, and it never happened.
It is the first time, I think, that we've skipped a week without acknowledging to each other that we were skipping a week.
Right.
Which I'm
fine
with again.
All right, but we've been on a pretty good roll recently. We've recorded a bunch of episodes.
Look, I consider getting one episode out in 2 weeks, I consider on time at this point.
Yeah, two in a row is crazy. Three in a row is nuts. I mean, I've been all over the map this week podcasting because Rob and I were planning on doing an episode, and I didn't realize it was A, Memorial Day weekend, B, a Jewish holiday that was 48 hours. So we just, you know, sort of skipped a week. We put out an old episode, and we'll do one next week.
Shavuot.
Yeah, I forgot last week that it was Shavuot. It sneaks up on you, Shavuot, you know?
Well, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, you're not a calendar guy.
I'm not a calendar guy. I mean, I know the Jewish calendar usually. Like, I usually know, especially like you get the day off or whatever. Although we do this thing at work where we have like a half day of work the eve of the holiday.
That's nice.
I guess. I'm not a calendar guy, but I didn't have cheesecake this Shavuot, so it was like kind of a bummer. It's a cheesecake holiday.
Well, you'll get them next year.
Maybe, yeah, hopefully.
Famously, guys love cheesecake. I'm not a big cheesecake girly.
I think the holiday most popular amongst Jewish women, Shavuot.
Really?
I don't know if it's like the
women
dairy.
Women like a dairy-heavy holiday?
Yeah, I think. That's sort of maybe Israeli women more than American women. I'm not sure, but they...
You think you have
like,
your finger on the pulse of both Israeli and American
women? I would say I have the finger on the pulse of no women in any country. Like, maybe I would go to one country like Peruvian women. Like, I figured them out, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Shavuot's interesting because it's sort of a cuspy Jewish holiday for the less observant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I've never, to my knowledge, like observed Shavuot, but
yeah.
I've heard of it. Like it's not so niche that like you'll tell me there's a fast day and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but it's not so commonplace that I had cheesecake this week.
Yeah, it does have some, it does have vibes that like you, that sort of like, you know, person who practices, you know, somewhat casually could still get behind, which is A, there's like a lot of flowers involved. People are like decorating things with flowers. I don't know why, but they are. And then there's like dairy food and cheesecake and stuff like that. So there's, you know, you don't have to like, it's not like Yom Kippur where you have to like sit in a synagogue for 12 hours. You know, there's a lot, you could really pretty passively take part in the holiday.
It's coming for the sukkah's wig?
No, well, Sukkot isn't flowers. The thing with Passover and Sukkot is, like, you could be much more hardcore. Like, building a sukkah, that's, like, a level up, right? And Passover, it's a lot, right, not to eat, you know, tons of different foods for a week.
Don't I know matzah. It.
So, you know, this is sort of like, the one thing we do, Orthodox does, definitely Orthodox, maybe conservative, I don't know. Is stay up all night and learn and study on the first night of Shavuot. That's like the big sort of like centerpiece of the holiday.
So do you get ahead in your one page a day?
I did, actually. That's a good question. Yes, I did. I met up with my friend at 2 a.m. Every year we, because remember, it's a holiday. We don't, like, carry phones on us. So every year we don't, we lose each other. Like, we never, we've had a tradition of, like, 3 or 4 years in a row where we can't find each other. We, like, make up a point, but it's like a Seinfeld episode, you know? If you don't have phones, like, you know, I, one year, I think I fell asleep and woke up and we were supposed to meet at 1 and it was, like, 2 and I couldn't find him. And we were going to knock on somebody's door at 2 a.m. And then, yeah, so it happened again this year where we were supposed to meet at 2. I, like, my boys wanted to stay up, but they couldn't really make it. But, like, I did, like, a half hour with one and a half hour with other, like, reading stuff. And then I was on my own, and then I just fell asleep on my couch. We were supposed to meet at 2 a.m. And I woke up, and it's one of those things, oh, 2:02. So now, like, I got to, like, run out of the house, try and find him, and it's going to be, like, 2:12 by the time I get there. And eventually I did find him. Yeah, so we got ahead.
Oh, good. A Shavuot miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's also nice. Also one of the reasons women like it is like a feminist holiday, like there's women sort of you know, involved in the story and stuff like that. So
I thought you were gonna say women like it because it gets the men out of the house at night.
Well, I mean, if it's like, oh, we want the men out of the house, like wouldn't you want them out of the house during the day to be at work? Like, why would you want a man out of the house when you're sleeping? You know, to me, that's like the last, you know, even if you hated someone, like, I don't care where they are when I'm sleeping. I want them out of the house when I'm awake.
Well, I'll learn more about Shavuot on a Jew girl old guy coming mm-hmm. soon.
I think that's
but
what this
I
is.
I do want to say to this audience that since we last spoke, Akiva, I told a modern Orthodox person who is not adjacent to this community at all that I am, quote, a pillar in the modern Orthodox community.
Not adjacent to the podcast community, you're saying.
Correct.
Like, yes, that you're a pillar.
No context to understand why.
To the modern Orthodox and what they say.
And I will say most Moho people listening to this don't understand why I would say something like that, in fairness.
Mm-hmm. Did he like ask any questions or he just like yes
and? Of course not. You wouldn't want to talk to a strange woman claiming to be a pillar in the modern Orthodox community.
I mean, are you a strange woman?
I mean, you could know me and still think I'm a strange woman.
I guess.
All right. We have a lot to unpack here in season mm-hmm. 5, episode 3, Jury Judy. Jury Judy.
Dame Duty Dench.
That was so stupid.
Yeah, no, I said it years ago.
You said what years ago?
I'm saying I accidentally Dame Duty Dench. I accidentally said it years ago, and it's like the J
didn't
and the
think
D.
You just said Dame Duty Dench. I thought because I said Judy, you just said Dame Judy Dench. I didn't even
know.
No,
I was thinking the D's and the G's, which reminded me that I once accidentally said Dame Duty Dench.
Who wants to tell Akiva that jury is spelled with a J and not a G?
J and D. The J's and the
you
D's.
You said G's.
Oh, it's late. It's not even that late compared to normal.
Yeah, no, this is...
That is such a good cop-out excuse for me, any mistake I make, you know? And a lot of times it's true, it's like 3 a.m., a podcast with like Chester Rob, but now it's like 10:45, you should know the difference between a G and a J, probably.
Well...
It's been years since I... Listen, it's not my first language anymore, you know, it's been years since I was a high school English teacher.
I'm gonna play a clip, Akiva, of you from May 1st, 2021.
Oh, no.
I cannot believe we've been doing this... This is 2 years ago? Jesus. I feel like we just started this podcast.
When did we start the podcast? Do you know, like, what month?
May? I want to say, I think August 2020. We were 33 episodes in, and we went through, didn't we go through an Olympics? When were the Olympics between August 2020?
No, they were canceled in 2020. They were in 2021.
But when in 2021?
July and August 2021, and then right again in in February 2022.
I mean, I'll go back in a second to when we started. Allie from the editing room, not a correction, just a clarification, or confirmation? August 2020, I was correct. Back to the show. But I want to play this because...
Should we try and finish before the Olympics, actually? Is that possible?
When are the Olympics?
They're in a year and 2 months.
I mean, aren't we more than halfway through? Don't we only have, like, a year's worth of episodes left?
I mean, there's still probably this episode. I think there's 21 more episodes after this. In this season, probably 22, in the next season, 43, and how many are in the final season? I don't know.
Like 8. I'm pretty sure we're like pretty 50, close to 50,
so we've got a year, but that's if we did one every week.
Allie from the editing room, we have 49 episodes of New Girl left. Nearly 3 years down, 49 episodes to go. Back to the show.
And we have a couple jars.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I did notice that they started, at least in this season, putting two episodes on a night. If they air two episodes in a night, does that mean we should also do both episodes at once? I was thinking about that.
I believe 2 or 3 weeks ago I asked you if we should start like motoring this through, and you were like,
I don't think we should, but I think if they did two in a night, I think we have the right to do two in a night. You know what I mean?
So you're suggesting two episodes a podcast. You know, I don't think it's that crazy to start doing two. I just don't want it to feel like we're giving up.
Allie from the editing room, sorry to interrupt three times in a minute here. I believe an unprecedented amount of interruptions for me. Clicks McGee is driving me insane. I just have to say it. It's going to continue throughout the podcast. I didn't notice it when we were recording, and I'm unwilling to edit it out. So Godspeed, Goggers. Back to the show.
No. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's going to be months till we get to it. I just think...
you've noticed that, like, in season 6, they started burning two a night?
No, in season 5. Towards, like, the second of season 5, they went to... There's, like, 4 or 5 times where they did two in a night.
Okay, if you can, without spoiling, get ahead of which episodes they were, I'm happy to go with the production
schedule. I have it right here. It's like 4 of the last 5 weeks of the season, basically.
So we'll do that. 14
and 15 and whatever.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to play an episode from May 1st, 2021, episode 33, Eggs. We had the great producer Kelly on. And it was one of the greatest NGOG Easter eggs that we ever laid for you, Keeve. So I don't know if this is going to work because I don't know. I don't have my mic anymore connected. So it's like how I do the USF Minute later. So let me know if you can hear this.
Okay.
Oh, lawyer, the most useless rent out.
Oh, sorry, it's on 1.5 speed, but could you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Useless.
Yeah, they're
going to ask you to help with traffic tickets, and we're like, pass.
Yeah, no, you lawyers are useless. Like, completely useless. I remember I ran into like a pretty powerful lawyer when I was having jury duty. I was like, how can I get out of it? And he's like, I've never been to a courtroom in my whole life. I was like, you make millions of dollars a year as a lawyer. He's like, yeah, I've never been to a courtroom, sorry.
Well, he should, if he's ever watched a movie, if he's ever watched anything, he could tell you how to get out of jury duty.
What's
that? He just didn't want to help you. Well, like, there's the Sex and the City episode where the guy's pulling fruit out of his suitcase. There's, but he's serving jury duty. I mean, you shouldn't want to get out of jury duty.
My work was not happy about it. I actually wanted to do it, but they wanted me to not do it. I ended up doing it, and they sent me home the first day for a good. Like, everybody, they're like, we have no cases for you.
It's so unrealistic that sitcoms don't address jury duty. Like, these people in the loft are just never on jury duty.
Yeah, okay, if we write a sitcom, there will be at least one. There will be at least one jury duty plot, and then we'll call it back in like season 6. Like, oh, 5 years have passed. You have jury duty again.
Yeah, wait. Is there not a jury? Plot? Is there not a jury duty episode in Parks and Rec? That's crazy if that's true.
I don't recall. Do you think, Akiva, I spoiled it, I guess, but do you think there will be jury duty New Girl?
Can we get back into New Girl, speaking of that wonderful...
Let's get back into New Girl. Great pass, Keeve. Thank you.
Were you playing me, or did you forget?
Oh, we were playing you, and it was so scary to me when Kelly starts saying, was there not a jury duty episode? Because I thought she was going to be like, in New Girl coming up, and she perfectly, I don't know why I even got scared for a second, goes to Parks and Rec. So, yes. Kelly and I were playing you like a fiddle, and here we are in season 5, years later, discussing the jury duty plot of New Girl.
Wow, that's crazy.
How do you like that? Even the manipulation I'm hearing, so proud of myself, being like, well, oh, I guess I spoiled it, but do you think there's going to be a jury duty plot?
I mean, I take umbrage with the story I was telling. That my work was upset, I had jury duty. My recollection of it is I was a teacher and it was the summer. But maybe I'm wrong.
This is incredible because producer Kelly says, does Keeve remember telling us he wanted to get out of jury duty on the Eggs episode? So apparently, not only do you not remember, but you take umbrage with your own story.
Yeah, no, I remember having jury duty. It was one day, and I remember I was a teacher in the summer, and I remember thinking I wouldn't mind being on this case because, you know, I'm
you're like $50 a day or whatever.
Not for the money. Just I'm out of school. Like, why not? But maybe I was doing something that summer. I don't remember.
So this is not blowing your mind because you didn't really recall this whole event, but I didn't expect you to. But I feel very satisfied here to have laid a little trap, and not a trap, but like a little Easter egg. And then here we're in the eggs episode, and now we're in the jury duty episode.
Yeah.
At a time where jury duty is like, you know, at the tail end of the height of pop culture.
Yeah. We love jury duty. Our tall king, Ronald.
Producer Kelly says, let's talk jury duty movies and shows. Any faves? 12 Angry Men, The Juror, Runaway Jury. Mine is Perfect Strangers because I'm unbearable.
What's Perfect Strangers again?
Perfect Strangers, 1950. That's what Producer Kelly gave us. Okay. She is a film scholar.
Yes,
so
she loves old
questions.
Movies. I famously think anything before 1990 is like pretty irredeemable, mostly.
Including people.
Yeah, well, I was born before 1990, right. But probably true. Look at you sneaking in. But I've said that the oldest I felt in my life is when Kayla Wienicker looked at us at the Shabbat table and looked at all of us and said, oh my gosh, you guys were all born in the 19s. And that's what we're going to be. You could make fun of me for being born in the 80s all you want, but if, you know, 40 years from now, anyone in our generation is just going to be someone born in the 19s.
I have no millennial shame. I have no 19 shame.
Some
I would
little,
rather be
some
born
kid
in the
one day is going to be like, Aunt Allie, great Aunt Allie.
God willing.
Is it true that you were born, like, you remember a time before the internet? And you're going to say yes. They're going to be like, wow.
You're ancient. Barely. I had like an email address in elementary school.
You don't, I mean, kindergarten, you probably didn't have, what are you, 91?
Yeah, but I didn't have like a need. Like, I don't remember a time where I was doing anything that the internet, that was more difficult without the internet that mm-hmm. now I'm like can do. Like, I mean, it's more like the cell phone, like the smartphone. Where
yeah,
like,
you didn't have
I
your own phone.
I used to print directions from MapQuest. Like that, yep. I recall.
Yeah, but before Google and YouTube, although those probably won't exist, you know, 50 years from now, who knows?
I'm in the height of my YouTube era. That's the most millennial thing probably I've ever said.
My kids are very into Mr. Beast. You don't have any relationship with Mr. Beast, right?
Okay, we talked about Mr. Beast 2 weeks ago, but since then I've watched a Mr. Beast video, another one, and I'm glad you brought this up. I watched the one Jesse from Survivor's Kid was on. It just
yes.
dropped. It's like
my kids are in the middle
100.
Of that one right now. We let them. They wanted to watch before they got to bed, but they like sort of play themselves because it's 25 minutes, and so they weren't allowed to watch the whole thing.
I feel very. We discussed this, but like those contests feel very like I've just felt sad watching it the whole time. But at the same time, like if somebody wants,
I think they all really
cheated,
want to be
like
there.
But no, I'm saying if the 100 people. So for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about. He took a 1-year-old all the way to a 100-year-old and put them in these like glass cubes with like a cot, mm-hmm. and the longest person to stay there wins $500,000. And it appears he gave everyone like $10,000 as they left.
Not everyone, just the more memorable people. And I thought
no,
it was $10,000,
no,
Ellie.
Some
but
people are just holding $10,000. Like I
yes, because I think some of them didn't make air, but I don't think all of them get it. I'm sure they all got a stipend, but I think like the more memorable contestants like get stuff. Usually is how it works with him. But I did notice, I thought he never says how much it is until maybe a couple other than a couple people, but one of the people holding stacks of money, I noticed it was ones. Now that might not be the actual money they win anyway. It might just be like, hold these stacks and we'll send you a check probably.
Well, yeah, because $1,000 cash in hundreds looks very unimpressive. Like
right.
to get a big fat stack to be $10,000, it has to be ones.
Yes. But it was just funny that it was ones.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing about Mr. Beast to me. Like, I am of two minds, and this is, I haven't thought much about this. So, you know, people much more intelligent and thoughtful than me, I defer to them. But I feel crazy.
All the scholars like, of today are analyzing Mr. Beast, so yes.
No, but it feels very, you know, like Dance Monkeys Dance, Squid Game vibes, mm-hmm. to have just like a pile of money and have people like you know, break down. Like, he's like, it's crazy what people are doing. They're drawing with deodorant or whatever. But at the same time, if people opt in consensually to want to do this and want to have a chance at $500,000, like, I'm not going to stop it. But it does feel kind of cringe to watch. Like, I don't enjoy really watching it.
I hear you. Yeah, I think it's made for kids. My kids really loved it. But this is really, like, who you could tell who their dad is. Yosef and Noam came to me. They saw the trailer for the video. So they knew it was coming a couple days ago. And they came to me and was like, can we do a pool on which number wins? I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool, except Yosef bet on 6. It was closest to the pin wins. And, like, obviously a 6-year-old was not going to ever win this. No, you know, spoilers. So I was like, that's a real, I mean, it's not a bad bet if you're like trying to get, maybe get like someone picks 40 and then you're trying to get everyone in the teens and early 20s, I guess, strategic, but I don't think that was,
but you didn't do closest to the, without going
we
over.
We did closest to the pin. And then they
but
went
that's
to my
not
wife.
Without going over.
No, not without going over. Not
I feel
price
like there's
right
no
side.
World 6 is a good guess.
It's not a good guess, but I think like, because I, let's say Noam gets 50 and I guess 37. He did have in that. He did have, like, you know, everything 21 and under, which isn't disastrously bad.
Already watched the show, so I shouldn't really.
Yeah, no spoilers. But and then they went to my wife, and she was not interested in gambling. They wanted to put everyone put in one shekel. They wanted to do it for money, but she doesn't gamble.
Well, that's cute. So you went 50?
No, I went 37.
And what did Noam take?
Noam took 50. Yosef took 6.
Okay.
I don't remember who won.
I mean, Noam's a genius, because that's a great guess.
50 is a good pick, because A, anybody over 50, he automatically wins. We didn't do it in that order, but yeah, he wins 44-100. That's not bad. Those are really good odds.
But in the same way that you assume no one 0-10 is ever going to win this, you got to assume no one 90-100 is going to win this season.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But still, even if you cat out 80-100, he still has 50 to 80. Those are, you know, competitive people.
How far into it did you get?
Well, I watched the whole thing. I finished.
Oh,
it,
so
but
you
they
know
went
the
to sleep.
Result.
I just don't remember the age of the person who won, but yes.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this jury duty plot here.
Can I say what I think is happening?
No, because we're going to get to that in your section. But first, let's do the guide, because
forgot. Sure. Okay.
And if it comes up in the guide, I can't stop you. Them's the rules.
Okay. So no, it won't come up there. In jury duty, we've got... so, basically, Jess ends up with jury duty. And, of course, if you know Jess, you know that she... Would you imagine if someone listening doesn't know Jess? Who is Zooey? Jess is very excited for jury duty until she realizes that she could have been acting principal. Meanwhile, Nick and Cece are fighting nonstop. There's a sort of a... Nick versus Cece and Schmidt getting in the middle. That's jury duty.
So, much like Jury Duty, the show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you could see I miscalculated how long you'd be given doing the guide because I didn't have a piece of chocolate. Apologies to the listeners. But this whole thing falls apart because it's so easy to get out of jury duty. If Jess simply said, I'm a vice principal at a school and the principal just shattered his hip and I have to go be acting principal. Yeah. She'd be released from jury duty.
I agree.
The trial hadn't started. She was still in voir dire, presumably. Like, she's fine.
Doesn't make any sense to me, but yeah, listen, that's a sitcom for you. You know, the easiest answer is not always going to be the one you take.
I forget if I told you this, that like, my mom got called for like a criminal case. And she's right now, like, having a bad situation with her knees. She has to go to physical therapy, especially at the time. Like, she was going to doctor's appointments and, like, trying to figure out, like, a path forward. And she gets called for jury duty. And it's, like, she physically couldn't show up. She wouldn't be able to sit for that long. She has to go to regular PT, like, during those hours. Like, she had a legitimate physical excuse to not be there. My mom's retired. She'd love to be on a jury. She served as
Is she retired?
Yeah.
When did she retire?
Last year.
Oh, I thought she was still teaching.
No, 47 years of teaching. This is her first year not teaching.
I didn't know. Oh, wow. Mazel tov, Jude. I thought she was about to finish. I didn't realize she finished.
No, so she She like one time did grand jury duty and she loved it. Like she would be Jess. She would love to do it, but she really couldn't. And so she was so nervous about it, getting out of it and just like this and that. And she was like, and I can tell them I'm primarily responsible for my mother, all of this. And I was like, Mom, you got one legitimate excuse. You have 50 legitimate excuses. Pick one, go with that. Because once you start bringing in 20, you no longer seem credible. Like, you don't need to. And then when I watched jury duty and the old woman raised her hand and was just like, it doesn't feel like this is for me. I was dying. I was like, Mom, just do that. That's perfect.
That's funny. Yeah, I've said this before. I told my students when I was a teacher, they would come in and a kid would say, I didn't do my homework last night, and say, why not? Other than the one time a kid said, you're not my therapist, when I asked him. But
that's amazing. Yes. Excused. Granted.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going down this road. You win. I said, like, a kid basically said, like, this, you know, my mom needed me to help babysit my sister, and this thing was sick, and my stomach was hurting. And I said, can I be honest with you, kid? Give me one excuse next time. You know what? Don't give me three. Each excuse is making the first one worse, because it's like, if you had a good excuse, if you said, like, you know, you were at a funeral, I'd say, like, okay, no more questions, Your Honor, you know? So.
Then my mom goes, well, it's like a car accident case. Like, I'm going to tell them, if they want to show me, like, graphic images, that I won't look. Like, you don't need to say that.
Yeah, that's like, I skinned my knee, I couldn't do my homework excuse.
I won't look. I won't cooperate. I'll close my eyes.
Meanwhile, we know that Jude has HBO Max. Like, she's seen things probably worse than the trial.
Excuse me, Max.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I apologize. So stupid.
One thing also that falls apart for me here is, you know, and realistically, like, this is all blown up for sitcoms, but I do think group dynamics are very delicate organisms. And Cece moving in while Jess is gone, I think, could lead to a difficult situation. Obviously, this is magnified. But I just can't understand the plot point of Nick having a problem with Cece as a slob. Why not toss this to Winston to take issue with and let Nick have a minor role breaking the wall with the card playing dogs?
Yeah, I don't know. What are we drinking?
Nick has like milk in his bed. Like, why all of a sudden am I to believe that like Nick needs a clean home?
That's, no, it doesn't, like, make me any sense. He's a slob.
Suddenly, yeah, caring about like a clean home.
We're eating and drinking on a podcast. What were you slurping there? What was that straw?
Just the bottom of an iced tea.
Allie from a shame spiral in the editing room. The absolute audacity I have to complain about Akiva clicking when I make this kind of vile noise on my end. You know, you're used to it. Back to the show.
It must be nice.
Sorry, everyone. Unsweetened iced tea.
We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about how I'm a totally different person than I was a week ago.
Well, I didn't think you wanted to discuss it, but I want to highlight, Akiva, unsweetened iced tea.
Okay, that's great. So now, I'm not judging anybody else. It's just for me.
No, you said must be nice, and I'm saying you could enjoy it.
But
this.
Even that, could I don't know. I'm only drinking water. I got a bad report from the doctor. But do you know where I went tonight? I came home late.
Wait, iced tea? Why couldn't you have unsweetened iced tea? It is water. It's like flavored water with natural with herbs.
I don't know. I guess I could have unsweetened iced tea. I haven't really had access to it.
I'm speaking to someone with no basic understanding of nutrition. Like, I don't have a good understanding of nutrition, but you can have unsweetened iced tea.
Less than zero. Yeah. I used to think, like, the pull and peel Twizzlers were healthier than regular. That was, like, that was a diet until a few days ago.
I think it's actually reversed because Twizzlers are hollow. Like, technically, I think you're getting less calories.
Good point.
Than the hollow
Twizzlers. I wish I had thought of that before. You know, I wouldn't be in this pickle.
Which also, when Kiva told me this information, which is serious information, and I'm glad you're getting, you know, you're taking care of things, whatever, you made it seem like you were on your deathbed.
I just heard.
I don't mean to do medical questions, but like, I was like, all right, now, Kiva, you're going to have to tell me what's going on, because you've made it sound like you just got you're staring down the barrel of a gun.
No, I mean, it was also like, I didn't hear from the doctor. I just saw like a test. I was like, oh boy, that's not good. And then the doctor followed
up. That's the most dangerous position to be in, where you're interpreting results.
Yeah, but Mara knows what most of this stuff means. I don't know what anything means. I was at a bat mitzvah, and then I was like, you know, I just finished basically eating, and I was like, all right, party's over forever. But I, you know, I went to, I, there's a gym at work, and I've never availed myself of the gym in the 15 months I've been in office.
Yeah, to clarify for the audience, this was the reason that Akiva even told me about the health news, is because he had to tell the story about being in the gym for the first time. You texted me this. That's the only reason you mentioned.
Oh, I, what was the, I forget what the context of, I had
there
a.
There was no context. You were like, I got some bad health news. So I was in a gym and I realized you have TVs here. That's what you were telling me.
Ah, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But honestly, had I known, I probably, this could have been averted had I known that they had TVs at, like at every sort of like TV and bike and treadmill and bike and all these things. I didn't realize. It was nice.
Yeah, but Akiva, the worst thing is, you know, you could just watch TV on the couch. It's not the only source.
True, but you know what it is? I used to have a treadmill in my childhood bedroom. I got one to lose weight for my wedding. And the thing I noticed was if I'm watching a game, I could like, you know, walk, like not run, but I could jog, whatever, and not even notice. And the time goes really quickly if I'm focusing on a game. So it's much different to me. That's like the best kind of exercise. But I had a very embarrassing thing happen today also. I've been going every day.
That's amazing.
I had an embarrassing thing happen to me today, which was I didn't know how to use the lockers. Like the first time I went, I just like brought my gym bag, which is just my work knapsack, and like sort of plopped it like on the treadmill, basically, like on the part you don't use. Boy. And like no one else was doing that. So, okay, I don't like... Nobody said anything, but like clearly I was the only person with my bag just lying there. So today I'm like, all right, I'm going to figure out the gym. Also, like my card hadn't been working. So I was like using coworkers. I was like, can we trade IDs? And like going in with their IDs because my, for whatever reason, my ID didn't work to get in the gym. So I went today and I was like, hey, like you have to sign up for an orientation. I signed up for the orientation, but my card doesn't work. So, okay, like when was it? Today? I was like, no, a year ago. He's like, oh, you went to the orientation a year ago? Okay, like, whatever, didn't judge. So then I go to the gym locker room, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to put my bag away this time. And I just, I'm not coordinated, and I don't have, like, problem-solving skills. I couldn't figure out how to work the locks. So I asked someone, and I'm like, not getting my points gross. I'm like, all right, you speak English? He's like, yeah, okay. So guy tells me how to lock your bag, no problem. I work out, come back. And I realize I made no note of where I put my bag. I like barely know how to like do the bag thing. Like I knew how to put it in, but it's different. Like, do you press the code, the lock? What do you do first? There's like a few steps. And then I'm just doing it on like a lot of different things. And there's like people there. Like you're trying to get in my, I don't know. It was very embarrassing. So it took like maybe 15 tries before I found the right bag. This is why I didn't like doing things. I don't know, this doesn't happen if I'm just watching TV.
No, but in a month, you go every day, and in a month, you're the gym regular. Then you
the
know
king of the
up.
Gym. I could be the king of the gym.
I'm not the king of the gym, but...
There's some really jacked guys there. I don't know. Everyone's really jacked.
I don't know if you're like me, but so I've been, you know, doing these, when I switched jobs, I like started doing these boxing workout classes in New York twice a week, and... Mm-hmm. You know, I was like saying something to someone, someone's like, oh, no, I don't like to, I go with some of my friends from college go, and I was just like, no one can be next to me, like, I don't want to be in the vicinity of you, and so it's like, no one looks at anyone, I'm like, I look at everyone, like, I don't know who these people are who don't show up at the gym to look at people, my eyes, if I'm in the class, I've seen you.
Now, are you boxing people? Like, are you hitting people?
No, it's like a trendy workout class where there's like half of the class is like hitting a punching bag.
Working on my other half doing? Being the punching bag?
No, the other half is like a floor workout with like weights and cardio.
Got it. Okay. But it's not really boxing. It's not hardcore boxing.
You're
never going to hit anybody.
Anyone.
I'm saying you're never going to hit
anybody.
No one's
hitting me in the face. No. Except now that I've announced I'm looking at everyone, maybe somebody will hit me in the face.
Face is your job.
Not my job.
I mean, you don't want to come into work with like two black eyes.
No, but what a great excuse to not come into work.
That's true, also.
We love a visible reason to stay home.
Give yourself, that's like such a sitcom thing. I don't want to go into work. All right, knock me. Like, give me.
Yeah, punch me in the face. Let's talk. We have to get through a few things. I mean, I think we could skip to what you wanted to talk about, which is where you think this is setting us up to. But what did you think of John Cho as a guest star here playing offensive man at a coffee shop, but or, you know, at coffee at the courthouse, but turns out to be a lawyer in the case that Jess is going to be on?
Yeah. Like John Cho was a very early Harold Kumar watcher when that movie had like $12 at the box office or whatever. He was in a movie a couple years ago that I hated, called Columbus. Just so boring, like historically boring. It got good reviews, but it was unbelievably bad. So
what
my
was
last
it
experience
about?
With him, nothing. Like truly, like architecture in Columbus, Ohio. But it wasn't like a documentary. It was shockingly bad.
The imagery looks like something I don't want to see.
It was hard. No, you wouldn't make it out of the trailer. It was that bad.
Okay, not going in the jar.
No. I mean, maybe if there was like a toilet jar or something.
Okay, so it's an architect who resents his father in Columbus, Ohio.
Worst, yeah. I mean, that's the most exciting part of the movie, that description.
Okay. Well, yeah, I generally am excited when I see John Cho pop up in something.
Yeah, no, he's good, but that movie was unbelievably bad.
She does rebound pretty quickly from when he... So basically, he first encounters Jess by being like, oh, great, like another deranged woman, like dressing as a crazy cat lady to try to get out of jury duty. And she's like, these are my normal clothes. I love jury duty. I'm very surprised that she entertains like a flirty rapport with this guy who just dogged her out completely.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Jess's clothes, you could sort of tell in this episode that she's hiding... her pregnancy at this point, right?
I mean, I think less, like, I wasn't thinking about it because I think it's just like a billowy dress, but certainly different than what she normally wears.
So there's one scene where she's really like shot in a very, you can tell she's like very pregnant towards the end of the episode. There's one scene where she's very pregnant.
TV on Body Watch.
Yeah. Listen, no, I was just wondering if this was where she was going away, because I think we've mentioned on the show before that there is, Jess does go away, or implied that
we
that
have
Jess
not
away.
Mentioned that on the show. Is that what
I
you
believe it's been
about?
Implied. I believe it has been implied.
It has not been implied.
Okay. Well, I knew it either way.
On? Is
I
that what
I
you were
knew...
spoiled on?
No, it wasn't the main thing, but I believe I knew that she goes away for a couple episodes, and I think I know who replaces her.
Who replaces her?
I believe it is Megan Fox.
Okay, we'll see if that's true. I mean, for all you know, Jess doesn't go away.
It's possible, or it's gone for like 1 week. I mean, did JLD miss any episodes or more than one episode when she was pregnant on Seinfeld? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. Can I get you to guess another guest star? Jess mentions Becky Cavatappi as someone she does not want to fill in for Principal Foster. Because she has fake Zoomers and she generally doesn't like her. I will spoil, we will see Becky Cavatappi.
We will see the Zoomers?
Can you guess who will be playing Becky Cavatappi?
Give me something, like a decade she was born in or something.
I'll say this. She has played another iconic sitcom character of the past that the 19s would be very familiar with.
The 19s? Oh, okay, fine. What decade was the sitcom popular?
I mean, I gave you I feel like that was a big hint. You asked me for what decade she was born in. Do you want me to give you the decade she was born in?
Yes.
I don't want to give you the decade of the sitcom.
Okay.
She was born in the 70s.
Actress born in the 70s with Zoomers.
I feel like the Zoomers aren't really, you know...
They're not a big talking point in the episode?
I wouldn't move towards the Zoomers.
You move towards
like
the 70s, okay.
A big
fine.
Indicator of who she is.
Got it.
She does not have Zoomers, but she's not known for her Zoomers.
Got it. Interesting. Okay. Born in the 70s. I don't know, Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
You're in striking distance.
Elizabeth Berkley?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, not, yeah, yeah.
In fact, I was going to go to, like, perhaps somebody else on the same show was more known in that context than her character. But you didn't even need me to get you there.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah. That was very exciting.
Not known for his Zoomers.
Okay. But not non-existent. We'll look forward to that, discussing when she makes an appearance.
Okay. We'll break it down.
Okay. So, you know, no one can survive without Jess. That's sort of the big plot point. Jess Cave, she can't get out of jury duty, even though, again, she could just simply tell them what's going on at her job and it would be fine. And then there's this whole loft agreement, which I think plays for laughs, like as a way to compromise between Cece and Nick. Like, I enjoyed the sort of shower caddy versus an extra $10 of rent adjusted for inflation if you have five or more products in the shower, in the bathroom. We don't get a lot of insight into sort of like how they're functioning as four adults in a shared bathroom. I think this is like a funny way to like throw a joke in.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of bathrooms, the Mr. Beast video, the most interesting part was like, because I assume they just let them go to the bathroom for like 5 minutes, you know? But he explains that they like,
you don't, yeah, they're you crazy. Can't, yeah.
They brought a bathroom to them, basically.
And Louis's like, I couldn't pay for plumbing for all these people. So yeah, he rolls a port-a-john around.
But it's like probably a fancy one.
I don't think it was fancy.
Didn't look fancy. It would have been a deal breaker, I think, this like weird bathroom, honestly.
So you would stay as long as it took you to knock with that. I mean, also, like, what I felt bad for the kids. Like, some of the kids were like, I'm so hungry and, like, crying about it. Like,
I mean, the food he fed them. Well, they didn't get into the food at all, right? But I'm sure he fed them. They didn't starve them, did they?
No, I'm sure he fed them. But there's, like, a difference between being fed what someone determines you need to eat versus, I'm like, yeah, for all we know, they were able to, like, put in an order of 15 things and they could circle, you want a sandwich, a hamburger, or were they, like, prison rations?
No, listen, there's very strict filming rules. Every kid under 18 had their parents there the whole time. Like,
well, yeah, I saw that. We saw Jesse. Know. Jesse makes an appearance.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but you know, the one-year-old, who I'm sure lasted an hour, you know, the two-year-old. By the way, the one thing I was thinking about the casting watching that, they had a one-year-old and a two-year-old, whatever. The one-year-old's got to be like 23 and a half months, you know what I mean?
It was like, a you're very not getting old a, one-year-old.
Yeah, you're not getting a young one-year-old. You're like, what's the oldest one-year-old we could find? Like, your birthday's the next day.
He was like walking and talking. He walked himself out, opened the door, and got out.
My 1 year-old Shy was at the park this week, and you know, you're always worried. There's like 4 or 5 year-olds running around. They're like, you know, kids could knock you over. They could be bullies. He punched two kids. He's like, I got the bully. I didn't realize you're looking for the bully. So then it's like, all right, Shy, you gotta behave. So they have this like horse that you could like rock on, go back and forth. So he like walks up to this kid, and like the kid sees him, and she gets off. He's like, oh, this guy's like the mafia of the playground. And he's just like scared this kid away. And then another kid is on the other horse because he got bored because the horses are sort of bad. And he goes on this other like rocking horse. The kid's on it, and he basically like yoinks like the kid off, like just to tear through the whole park.
Well, I think when you're the youngest of five, you have to be standing your ground at an early age.
Yeah, he's got two older brothers. He gets it pretty bad at home, for sure. So, yeah.
Like, my nephew is soft, because he's the only one.
What a present company included. Like, I was the only one, and then I had a sister, and, you know, I'm soft.
But, all right, just to wrap this up, Schnick. What? Cece and Nick basically come to a resolution. You know, they resolve their issues. Jess comes back and they're like, just never leave again, but we're fine. And nope, Jess will have to be sequestered on a jury for a month and packs her bags, leaves them a bowl of sweet nothings, complimentary advice. Producer Kelly says, what would be in your bowl of advice for the loft or just general life advice?
Don't do anything I wouldn't do. I don't know. What would be yours be? What would one of your main ones be?
I mean, if I left a bowl behind, if I was leaving my apartment, left a bowl of advice, nobody would look at it. I'd just leave an empty bowl for the ghosts. Like,
You think your apartment has ghosts?
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't advise anyone.
I mean, maybe it could be sort of like a like an internet thing. Like, you get one a day. You get one emailed to you.
To who? Who is the audience? If I was leaving you advice, Akiva, if I wasn't talking to you again for my advice, it'd be like, obviously, listen to Mara, that goes without saying. Then it would be like, you know, don't take, like, if Rob breathes heavy on a podcast, don't take it personally. He's not mad at you. You know, don't let Chester push you around in scheduling, and I'll see you in a month.
And you're just doing jury duty. I do think you'd be the foreman, though.
I've never served jury duty. I've been called for jury duty, but I've postponed it, so we'll see.
Oh, wow. I thought, you know, you'd want to do your civic duty as an American, but I guess not.
Well, no, I mean, this is all too inside baseball, but my boss is on mat leave right now, so I postponed it to after she's back, because it would be a hard...
It's so easy hardship to get out, and freaking principal of the school can't get out of it. Ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the guide, because you've been itching to talk about this. So, producer Kelly says, what does Keeve think is going to happen with Jess's jury duty? Will she be pictured in solo scenes again? Will she just be gone? For how many episodes?
I think 3 episodes she'll be gone. I think, the you know, things like the bowl are there to remind us of her existence. But also, this goes back to one of our, like, main points, is that the show should have been called The Loft, right? Because if she can leave for a few episodes, like, does Grey, I mean, now I think maybe left, but like, does Grey leave Grey's Anatomy, you know?
I mean, it's not called Jess.
I know, but who's the new girl?
Well, Cece just moved into the loft.
I know, so it's Cece? So it's Megan Fox, maybe?
I mean, I really think there's such a huge cast, and especially with the addition of Cece. Now, my only criticism is they sort of, like, threw in and immediately resolved all of the, like, interesting changing dynamics that could have been between the four of them with Cece moving in. Like, I don't think Jess needs a replacement if they want to flesh out more dynamics between Cece and Nick and Cece and Winston as roommates. But they do sort of, like, raise it and dispose of it right away this episode.
Hmm. Yeah, the B plot here didn't do anything for me, really. I mean, there was some funny things, but as, like, a long, ongoing storyline, it wouldn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I'm looking looking at the next few episodes.
Do you even know the answer exactly how long she's gone? Probably, I imagine.
I mean, I'm not even willing to admit that she's gone.
Okay, fine.
I also think, like, if something like that were to happen and a character were to go away, I'd want you to be guessing every week if she's going to come back or not.
Okay, I mean, we could definitely do that.
But what do you think the trial's about? Do you think we're going to learn? Like, the other thing, too, is she's on jury duty, so I also think it's possible that, like, they pre-record stuff with her from jury duty and we could still get stuff because she doesn't need to, like, interact with everyone. Like, they could film those scenes.
It would have been a good idea, but, of course, you know, it's very possible.
What do you think the trial's about? It's about marriage. That's all we get this episode.
Murder, marriage. Mm-hmm. Murder, marriage. Okay. Marriage,
Jessica
murder.
Frey says, are we sure that Jess actually went to jury duty, or was she the first Ronald? Is that going to reveal?
That would be crazy. But I feel like we would have mentioned, someone would have, like, tweeted that at us or something, that Jess was the Ronald. Now, Jess would have been a great Ronald. I think, honestly, she would have been better, the only person better than Ronald, because she never would have questioned anything. She, like, lets crazy things happen. She's really into the, you know, jury aspect of it. I think that would be your ideal. That's what you're starting off as your goal, is a Jess. And Ronald essentially is a Jess, right? Like, very bright-eyed look at the world.
Just to keep it.
Oh, you stopped after 2 and never finished?
I watched 1, and then, like, 2 weeks later, I watched 2, and I'll get to it maybe at some point.
Nah, at this point, if you haven't gotten to it, you probably never will. It's okay.
Well, now, challenge accepted.
I read maybe a book, yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I read a book this weekend, The Boys in the Boat or something like that, and it was really good. I knew it was, The Boys in the Boat was the name of the book. It's about the boys who, University of Washington students in the 30s who try and make it to the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, the famous Hitler-Nazi Olympics, as a rowing 8. And the coach and the guy who makes the boats, and it's really good. And after I finished, I thought, you know, I thought there was a movie directed by Angelina Jolie that was like supposedly not so good, but I was very looking forward to watching it tonight. And then I was like, all right, too bad. Like, I'm not going to be able to watch it tonight because we ended up booking this. And I just Googled it right before we started. I hallucinated it. The movie is directed by George Clooney that has not come out yet. Angelina Jolie directed a different Olympian movie that was a great book, that was a disappointing movie, called Unbroken. So I thought I was going to watch a bad movie about this, but now I have to wait 6 months and potentially watch a good movie about it.
Do you think that's a Mandela effect?
Yes.
Do you think other people also believe
that? I was certain. I've even like said, I was reading the book and I told someone like, oh yeah, Angelina Jolie directed the movie and like she's a bad director and it was bad.
How many people have to have the same belief for it to be Mandela effect officially?
I think probably at least two, and in this case, it may have just been me, unless like people believed my fake story. It's a good question, though.
All right, who won the episode? Another good question.
Won the episode, Cece for moving in. She's now like a main core character. I think it has to be Cece.
I don't know that anybody wins this episode.
No, it's a hard. I hear what you're saying. Like nobody classically wins, but I think like Cece. Like, as a character now, being such a major player has to be the winner, in my opinion.
No, I understand your point. Like, I don't disagree. I think it's the best of a bad situation. But I am standing firm. I am saying nobody wins this episode.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Producer Kelly said, the woman who answered the question, whose side are you on, with a whispered justice. Okay, it was a cute bottle episode for the four non-Jesses. And I guess Schmidt came out on top with his best friend and fiance bearing the hatchet. All right, Keith,
yes.
I will give you the name of next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
You will guess the plot. Think about it while I make the plugs. It will be season 5, episode 4, No Girl. And,
No Girl.
Check out the Vanderpump Rules reunion podcast I've been doing with Haley Strong, TikTok Nicole, Ryan Cohen, over at the Bravo Rehap Ups feed, which I think is robinsrobeside.com/Bravo feed. Staying busy, check out the 32 Fans Patreon podcast that I did with Dr. Jen, Dr. and Mr. Chester.
I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, finally talked about. Now I could go back and listen to your podcast.
Oh, yeah, listen to it. Let me know your takes.
On Jewish matchmaking, better late than never, Hebe, doing Renap, half asleep, doesn't matter, doing 32 Fans. What else, Keith?
Yeah, 32 Fans, we did best team of every year, 1983-2000. We'll finish this week. That's about it. Catch me at the gym. Catch me eating salads. And I ate quinoa today.
Hey.
A week ago, I would have liked.
This could be the best thing to ever happen to you.
Yeah, it's possible. A week ago, or like by next week, you'll be like, how's that going? Like, oh, I don't even remember being on the diet.
No,
like,
you won't. You're taking it seriously. You could tell.
Mm-hmm.
One more plug. I will be on the RHAP B&B talking about the Survivor finale with Mike and Liana, mm-hmm. playing some games right now. Gotta go right now and record that. So, Kiwi, what do you think No Girl is about?
No Girl, I think, is Cece's gone. It's just the fellas next week. Winston, Nick, Schmidt, they have a good time. No girls allowed.
All right, we'll see if it's Yosef's dream episode. Next week, hopefully.
Yosef hates girls?
No girls allowed. That was the whole kitchen.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Girls in the kitchen. He's canceled. That's right.
Yeah. I'm not canceled. You're canceled.
You're canceled.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See you all. I won't see ya.
Ali and Akiva. Gonna talk a TV show. And maybe Jenny Garner. So don't go any farther now. Akiva and Ali. All the way to the finale. His face is his job. She's the captain of NGOG.